Hello everyone, I'm Sandy Caldwell and welcome to the 23rd episode of Quilt Cabana Corner. I hope today finds you well and that you've gone and grabbed a cup of coffee or some tea or something to sit down and join me for this podcast. Today I have lots of little things to talk about and my list is kind of long, so maybe I'll end up breaking it up into two different episodes. I don't like my episodes to get too long. So today I have a few things from some catalogs to tell you about, an article in Better Homes and Gardens to share with you, and we have lots of reader comments today from the podcast research question, which was, if you had $300 to spend at your favorite quilt shop, either online or a real store, what would you purchase? And I chose $300 because it's a good chunk of money. You can get something substantial or lots of smaller things, so I was interested to see what everybody had to say and thought it was funny that there seemed to be almost a common thread running through the answers. So I paused on thread and you'll find out why when we go to do the comments. Anyway, so let's get started. And the first thing I wanted to share with you is something that was in my September 2012 Better Homes and Gardens magazine. Oh, and I also have a book review. I don't want to forget about that. I normally don't get Better Homes and Gardens magazine, but my favorite scrapbook magazine went out of print, and it was Better Homes and Gardens scrapbooks, etc. So to fill out the remainder of my subscription, they started sending me their Better Homes and Garden magazine, which is okay. It's not my favorite. I don't think I'm going to renew it, but I thought it was interesting. There was one thing in here. If you're an Amy Butler fan, there's an article on Amy and her husband, and you get to see their home and everything. She designs fabric. I'm trying to see if I can find it. I know I had doggy-eared it. Of course, now I can't, but if you have this magazine and you're an Amy Butler fan, do take a look because you can see her backyard and her gardens and her lovely, lovely home and how it's decorated. So that was Better Homes. Also, the McCall's Quilting magazine that just came out, it's the November issue. I didn't get a chance to read the whole issue because I was too focused on page 32, which has my Coming Down the Chimney quilt in it. So if you have that magazine and you want to see my quilt pattern that was published in there, and my smiling face, because I noticed they put my photograph in there too, I believe it is page 32. And it's a cute Christmas wall hanging, and it's, you know, as always, simple to piece, fusible applique, can't go wrong with that. So I do hope you'll check that out. Okay, in my Nancy's Notions catalog that I received just a few days ago, she has broken down the catalog this time for Christmas with a section for Christmas classics, quilters' gifts for the home, embroidery, practical gifts. I really liked the way she did the catalog this time. It was interesting to thumb through it. Now, you know I'm a huge Nancy's lover, and I do think she has really, really good prices on things. And also, if you order from her enough, sooner or later you get catalogs that have one rate shipping stickers on them or free shipping, and you get a special code. So she does take care of the people who order from her frequently. A couple things in here that I really liked. Under the simple and elegant gifts that fellow quilt enthusiasts will love, she has a really nice coaster set that has quilting designs on it, and I believe they're all made. It's not a project. It's just coasters that are done, and they're $11, and they're really cute. She also has lots of quilting jewelry, if you're into that, and awesome, awesome nightlights that have the Ohio Star Block on them, and they light up blue or green. Those are kind of cool, $16. And she has a nice pendant that's a sewing machine for $20. And of course, this is in addition to all the other awesome stuff she has. She has an old-fashioned thread holder. And there was one other thing in here. Oh, she's got these nice sewing tools. And they're all made of brass. So if you'd like a nice set of sewing tools that, you know, a little better than plastic, $30 for those. A little steep, but she had some cool stuff. The thing that really caught my eye on the back of this, though, was a laser-cut fusible decoration. And she has a Santa's sleigh going over some rooftops, and it's a wall hanging, and it says, "Forget any fussy work. This design is laser-cut, and fusible web is applied to the backside. Just iron it on. Kit includes the pattern, fusible applique, and all fabrics for creating the scene, batting and backing." So it's the Night Before Christmas wall hanging kit. And literally all you do is iron this awesome scene. So the border of the quilt is red, the background is white, and then you put this nice overlay that's laser cut already for you. And then you just add your own quilting. It's really, really cute. And the whole kit's $29.99. And I think if you just want the applique piece, that's $20. So I thought that was quite interesting. And then I also received in the mail this, I don't know where it came from or how I got it, but it's called Home Sew Ink, Home-Sew Ink. They're out of Pennsylvania. And it's a small catalog, kind of like the Creating Keepsake one, but man, is it loaded with gadgets and quilts and fabric. This catalog has everything in it, buttons, beads, you name it. So I dog-eared a few things that I thought was cool. One was a, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but Chazimi shrinking thread. Now, we've all heard of texture magic and that shrinking, you know, stuff that you put on the fabric kind of shrinks it up. Well, this is a thread that does it. Thread, it's polyester. It sews like regular thread until it's exposed to steam. Then it shrinks 30% to create shirring and gathers. Use in bobbin only for less puckering, or use in both bobbin and top for more puckering. Works best with lightweight fabrics such as silk, chiffon, or organza. 330-yard spool for $10. I thought that was really, really interesting. Okay, they also had a magnetic pin dispenser that I thought was pretty neat. I don't know how to explain it. It's like a little plastic case with a little tray in the front, and the pins come onto the bar and drop into the tray below. So I think maybe you just tap on it and the pins just roll out of it. But that's kind of cool because most of the pins are covered and secure inside the container, and then you just roll them out into the little tray. So that's kind of cool. That's $4.95. Another thing that I absolutely loved was a yo-yo stencil. Make your own yo-yos and keep their sizes consistent with an easy-to-use template. Made of long-lasting heavy plastic, make circles in 8 sizes that make yo-yos from a half inch to a 4 inch in diameter. A handy tool whenever you need nice, even circles. And I liked that. It's $13.50 because I know with, I think it's the Clover ones, you have to buy a yo-yo for each, a yo-yo maker or whatever it is, one for each size that you want. So this is a stencil where you just draw it yourself. Like that a lot. Let's see. There was one more thing in here. And it's a cleaner. Retro Clean safely brings age-stained textiles back to life. So it's a cleaner that will help clean up the yellowing on some of the antique quilts that we have. And I recently received another antique quilt from my mother who was cleaning out that belonged to my grandmother. And it does have some yellowing on it. I don't think I've put it on the blog yet, but I am thinking maybe I should try this. You can get a 4-ounce pack for $5 and a 1-pound bag for $15. So that was, again, the Home Sew Ink catalog, which I thought was really cool. I wanted to talk for a minute about the Cave Facet presentation that my mother and I attended. I did blog about it, and I talked about it on Twitter a little bit. It was held on a Friday night at Bentley College. It was open to guild members first for, I don't know, $10 a ticket, I think, and then open to the public after that for $15. And the place was packed. I would say maybe 800 people were in attendance, and it was a really great presentation. It started with his partner in the business who comes out sort of as a pre-show. He was a funny guy with an English accent, and he had us all laughing, told us little stories about how Cave got his beginning. And then the main event, Mr. Cave Facet, came out. and gave us all a lovely presentation with a slideshow on how he had attended, I want to say it was the Museum of Fine Arts School in Boston, and I might have the name of that wrong, how he went there, and actually the years that he was there, my uncle was actually there too. My uncle's passed away, but I think it's funny to think that they attended at the same time. So he started there, and he was into painting, and as you may or may not know, he's also a knitter, and he does incredible, incredible needlepoint work. I wanted to go home and pick up needlepoint, and I've never done it in my life before after seeing the work that he's done. He's had many, many, many books, many, many fabric lines. They're all large-scale fabrics, large-scale prints on the fabrics. His slideshow, you really got a good taste of a sampling of his work and also his life, because there were a lot of slides of his home and the studio and everything. And I don't think there's an inch of space left in that place. It is loaded, loaded with quilts. I thought it was very funny. He offered to hand bind anything for anyone. He really, really enjoys that process. I know a lot of us don't, some of us do, but he enjoys it so much that he's offered to do it for anyone. Thought that was kind of cute. What else did he talk about? Talked about his work and how, I wish I could remember the English fellow's name, but he does some of the first drawings or sketches and then brings them to CAFE and then he paints them. Painting is, you know, his big thing. And they work together, they collaborate. So it was nice actually to see that he actually has help with this stuff, because it makes me feel better that I can't get everything creatively done that I want to all by myself. And I guess everything sort of takes a village. It's hard to accomplish things all on your own when you get that big. And I know that he also does work with, is it Liza Lucy? I think Liza Pryor Lucy. And he didn't mention her very much, and I was actually wishing he would, because I was interested to know how he came to meet her and how they came to collaborate on the books, because so many have been written by the both of them. There were books for sale. They, you know, seemed to be picture books almost. I didn't buy one. My mother didn't buy one either. Lots of people were buying them, though. But for $20, I felt like I would probably flip through it and that would be it. So maybe I can borrow it from my guild's library or something. They also had some fabric there. Not a whole ton, and I didn't get there late or anything. It just seemed like there wasn't a whole ton of his fabric. So I believe we were the first stop on maybe a six-week tour or something. They were going all over the place with this Evening with Kay Facet show. But it was very interesting, and I highly, highly, highly recommend your guild to host him in an event like this, because it packs the place and it's an opportunity to promote your guild and to open it up to the public. I don't know how much it costs to have him come, and I'm sure it was probably expensive, but if your guild is a guild that has some money, a large one, like ours is like 300 members or something, certainly it might be something that you want to look into. I didn't go back to listen to the last segment where I was just speaking about Kay Facet, and I hope that I didn't say that he went to the Museum of Science Art School, because I had Museum of Science on the brain, so I'm just not sure if I did, but it was the Museum of Fine Art School. And I actually think maybe he only studied there for a short while before he went to London, and that's where he lives now. And I also just looked up, the fella's name was Brandon. Brandon is the person who comes on the tour with him. And if you check his website, I think he's in Portsmouth, New Hampshire soon, and kind of all over the place. So check to see where he is near you. Okay, next up on my list of things I wanted to tell you about is a book that I've been reading that's not quilt related. I just finished reading Unbroken, which is written by Lauren Hillenbrand, who also wrote Seabiscuit. We chose the book for book club because Amazon has like 1,000 great reviews about it. and 1,000 reviews, as my friend Heather says, can't be wrong or shouldn't be wrong, and they were not wrong. If you have not read Unbroken, you have to read Unbroken. It's a slow-moving book, but it just grabs you so emotionally that you cannot put it down. It's a book about an Olympic runner, a young man who realizes he's a little bit of a hellion, a free spirit in school, and his brother urges him to train to become a runner. So he trains himself all the way to the Olympics, and then he's drafted. And this is all taking place during World War II. So he is eventually, well, he joins the Air Force, I believe it was, and he learns how to fly, how to do plane things. He drops bombs and, you know, can fly planes and all this stuff. So eventually he is captured as a prisoner of war in Japan. Now, being 41 years old and being born 30 years after that war, learning about it in school, but being young and having it sort of go in one ear and out the other, I don't think I really realized what those prisoner of wars went through. Brutal, brutal. The book explains in detail, it's written from, his name is Louis Zamperini, and it's written from his perspective. He's very involved with the writing of the book. And I believe he's still alive today. And it is loaded with photographs that he had taken along the way. It's gripping. It's just emotionally gripping. I just can't imagine all that they went through. But it's not written in such a way that you're like, oh my God, I can't read this. It's so graphic. It's too detailed. It's not. It's just the perfect amount of detail to really make you feel like you're there in the moment, but not to turn you off from the book. So we are discussing that at my house on October 24th for book club, and I hope that everybody's read it because it's just a great book for discussion. Really, really great book. Highly recommend it. So I wanted to pass that along because I know we often talk about books on our podcast, which also brings me to I am reading The Wedding Quilt, Jennifer Chiaverini's, not her newest one. I think it may be three ago. I'm a little bit behind. And it's so nice to be back with those characters, Sylvia and Sarah and Matt. Gosh, I really love those books. I don't know if you read them or not, but if you haven't, pick them up, but do it through the library because it gets expensive to start collecting the books. She's like 18 books in or something. So if you do read those books, as I'm reading this one, she's talking, she brings up her sister Claudia and Claudia's husband, Harold. And now what I cannot remember, and hopefully you can help me with, I can't remember what Harold did to get the blame for Sylvia's brother and husband not coming home from the war. I don't know if like he left them out in the field or something. I can't quite remember, and I've Googled it all this morning. I can't find it. So if you can remember exactly what the storyline was with Harold, who's Claudia's husband, that would be Sylvia's brother-in-law, what he did, because Sylvia blames him for their deaths. So if you can remember, help me out. Let me know. Thanks. Okay, before we start the reader comments, I wanted to tell you a couple of quick things. One is that I've updated my website. I had not updated it in some time, and because the Coming Down the Chimney pattern was coming out, and I have a block coming out in 100 blocks, they link back to my website. So I wanted to make sure it was tidy and up to date. So www.quiltcabanapatterns.com, it has been updated. Also, for my podcast, normally I record with a microphone right into Audacity. So if you're listening in your podcaster, I just want to tell you that on my iPad, I downloaded Voice Memo HD. It was a couple of bucks, and that is what I'm recording my podcast on. And I think maybe you'll agree, it has a clearer sound. It doesn't have the hard T when I'm speaking, like sometimes the microphone did. So how it works is you record your voice memo. I usually do about maybe 4 to 6 minutes at a time, and you can upload it right to Dropbox. And from there, I can put it right into Audacity. So something to think about if you're looking to record your podcast on something that has a high-definition sound and is cheap. Okay. Next, Darla from Scientific Quilter has an excellent podcast that came out this week. It is loaded with tips on embroidery and a really cool tip on something I believe she called either a kick binding or a kicker binding. So check Darla's podcast out. You won't be sorry. And also, let's see, one more housekeeping thing. Actually, this is a tip for you. If you follow Lane, who is Quilts Fool, can't remember his name. Batman Quilts. He's Batman Quilts. That's the name of his blog, I believe. Anyways, Lane had a great idea for the pounce that he wrote about on his blog this week. And what he did was he took a piece of paper and he traced a quilt pattern design onto it. And then he stitched over that piece of paper so that there were little holes in the design. And then he ran his pounce over it onto the fabric. I didn't think that pounce chalk would go through like a needle hole, but it does. And that's really excellent news for people who own a pounce, because you could just take any quilt, quilt line stencil, continuous line or whatever, and just use paper in your sewing machine to make the stencil yourself and then pounce it. Check out his blog if I'm not making sense or that's not clear. But I was really excited when I saw that. And he also said to make sure that you don't iron over the piece of paper with the holes, because the holes close up and then the chalk won't get through. All right, so that's me promoting everybody else. So, which works for me. That's how this goes, right? I scratch someone's back, they scratch mine. So, all right, now we're on to our comments that were left on Podbean, Twitter, Big Tent, Facebook, and I don't know, that might be it. I did want to say that I would like to thank Tori, Pat, Janet, and Carmen for comments that were left recently and not so recently on my Podbean episodes, right on the Podbean site. For some reason, I was not notified that there were comments there waiting. So I truly appreciate your comments. Thank you so much for leaving them. I have gone back and replied to you, and I'm sorry about the delay. So I wanted to just say that. Okay, so we're on to the $300 question. So let's start with actually, before we get on with the $300 question, as a result of those comments not being put up promptly, I missed Pat's, and it was her response to what the Dream Machine would be, and I just want to share it with you because it's very funny. She says, "Sandy, I should have responded to your last question. I have a favorite machine," in quotes. "It would be someone to whom I could hand off my projects when they get to the point that I don't want to finish them. I like to choose fabric, cut, piece, but then I want to go on to something else." Me too, Pat. "Right now, I have to get back to quilting the mystery quilt from my guild's latest project." So I really like that idea, Pat, very much, that your dream machine is actually another person to help you out. I think that's great. Okay, so that was one. And let me come down to comments down here. Again, this is off of the Podbean site that I'm reading from. I don't know why it's not letting me. Here we go. Okay. Let's see here. Here's another one about the Dream Machine. Okay, that's okay. We'll go back. Janet says, "I'd like to have either a Bernina long throat quilter's machine, since I like to make my quilts from start to finish. I say Bernina because it's the only machine I've ever owned. My first machine I purchased while living in England in the late 1970s, it was a Bernina 830 Electronic. My second machine my husband and family gave to me as a Christmas gift. Very good. And that was from Janet. Okay, let me see if I can find, let's see, Jackie on the $300 question says, now that she's recently attended the AQS show in Iowa, and we're all very jealous, Jackie, that you got to go there and of your stash that you brought home, she says, this is an easy question. I think my greatest find was Deb Tucker's rulers, and I can't wait to use them. I also invested in a good pair of pinking shears, along with a smaller pair of shears, applique scissors, and tweezers. A given is fabric and patterns. The patterns were for miniatures. Fabric included Stonehenge I need for a quilt, along with some fat quarters. Jay says, I would buy fabric, of course. Of course, Jay. I would also buy rulers. If they had go dies, I might buy those. Orifil could always be put to good use. I'm pretty good on tools, but there's always something I want to try. I'm sure I could find a good way to use it. I'm sure you could also, Jay. And Katie Ringo left a comment over on the Facebook site and says, I think I get a new hoop for my embroidery machine. I need a 5x7 or an 8x8 square hoop. A carry bag for my featherweight, and an extension table for it. Ooh, that all sounds really good, especially the extension table. I like that a lot. Okay. Okay, Gail says, with $300, I would purchase more cape facet fabrics for my collection that I hope to use in a few months when I retire. Yay, Gail! Glad to hear you're going to retire. That's awesome. I really enjoy your podcast, videocast, and blog. Thanks. Thank you, too. And I received a lot of comments over the last few weeks about the podcast and the videocast, and congratulations on my quilt pattern being published and all of that. So I sincerely thank you all for your kind words. It's so nice that you took the time to let me know that, and I do appreciate it. Okay, Anne McGee says, if I had $300 to spend at a quilting store, I would spend it on Orifil thread. I see lovely colors of pre-packaged Orifil thread, but it's too expensive for me, so I stick to neutral colors of off-white or gray for my quilting. But I sure would love to try some of their fun colors if money wasn't an object. She says, this weekend she's not quilting. She's decided to use a particular fabric for binding for a Christmas present, but she doesn't have enough of it, so she's off to the fabric stores. She's also knitting French press felted slippers and also a shawl. Anne, you're an overachiever. Big time. No, that's great. That's really great. And are you starting to see a common thread on people's wish lists here for what they would like with their $300? I know I am. Okay, Lori Thompson, or Letterderm DVM. That's Lori's Twitter site. I don't know how to pronounce it. She says she would like batting, Orifil, and Sepia Petals Design Pack from OESD. I am going to have to check out what the Sepia Petals Design Pack is, because I'm not sure what that is. Hold on, let me look it up right now. Sepia Petals Design Pack. Oh, it's an embroidery design. Machine embroidery designs. Oh, yes. Very pretty. Very pretty and expensive. An $89 purchase. So it would be good if you had $300 for that, for sure. Okay. DDR Quilter says she would buy quilt tools, supplies for small travel trailer. Excellent. Jackie suggested this, and it will be my part-time home. Excellent suggestion. And I think it must be fun to sew in a camper. Jackie says again, a lot of money to consider. Do I go for more fabric or something I might want? And then she went to the quilt show and she was able to know exactly what she wanted. Okay, Sandy from Sandy Quilts says, $300, not enough for any of my dream machines yet. Other than the ones I mentioned for your previous question, I'm more seriously looking into getting a Janome Gem for travel. I'd probably end up buying a boatload of Batiks. I'm with you. Batiks is on my list as well. And Robin says, fabric for Lola's quilt. Lola is her granddaughter. I should be getting a fantastic quote for $300. Susan from HQ Sues says, rulers, a medium-sized cutting mat, and a class or two. That's good, too. A class would be nice. Daisy from Very Lazy Daisy says, I would purchase solids for backgrounds, some backing, and as much batting as I could with what's left. Yes, Daisy, I agree, because batting is expensive. Gretchen says, fabric or a full thread? Fabric. All right, Gretchen, we gotcha. You want fabric. And Katie R. from Katie's Quilting says, I'd try the Creative Grid and Rapid Fire rulers, would buy the Kona and Aurifil color swatches, and if I still had money left, I'd spend it on fabric all in caps. Probably Kate Spain yardage, not a fan of pre-cut since I'm a pre-washer, and there's no way to pre-wash jelly rolls and charm packs. I agree, that is the big downfall on those. That might have been it. I think that was it for comments left on that. And then I was going to share with you my own list I was trying to put together. And I came up with, surprise, surprise, Aurifil thread, quilt racks, and quilt hangers, because I have more quilts than I know what to do with, and I like the quilt hangers that look nice and go with the decor. So some of those, I said a Christmas jelly roll or two, because I'd like to have a jelly roll race quilt around here for the holidays, which I did end up ordering over in Green Fairy Quilts, which I blogged about. Judy over there at Green Fairy Quilts always, always, always has a great deal going on pre-cuts, and they're usually mostly all Moda. So check out her website, greenfairyquilts.com. And I was able to get a beautiful Moda Christmas one for $26.95 for the jelly roll. Okay, batik supplies is on my list because I'd like to make batiks. I enjoy dyeing fabric, and now I'd like to get the wax warmer, and there was something else I needed to do that. Oh, a special kind of soap to get the wax out. And also, I put a huge supply of paper-backed fusible web. I would order yards and yards and yards and yards and yards of that because my stuff is a lot of fusible, so. And then also, embroidery cards is high on my list. Thanks to Quilted Magnolia Katie, who's always doing something beautiful in the hoop with the embroidery or using embroidery designs to do the quilting on her projects. I've decided that I really, really should pull out my embroidery machine, which is not an expensive one. It was like the Brother machine. It was like $500. It has three different hoop sizes, and it uses the PES format cards. And the cards have been expensive in the past, so I kind of stopped looking at them. I had purchased a few. But they do have some really nice quilt ones with beautiful designs on them. So I think that that would be on my list. And I think that was it. And that would probably, most definitely, take care of $300. So I thank you all for participating in the podcast research question over the last 2 weeks. I had a lot of fun with everyone's responses and reading what everybody would like. So the next question, if you're interested in playing along, the next question is, tell me what your favorite quilting book is. Not a pattern book, but like a novel, like the Jennifer Schiaverini's or the Marie Boswick's. You can tell me if it's a series that you like or just an individual book, but I'm sure that there are some of us who have read quilt-related books that some of us may not have heard of or haven't become familiar with lately. So why don't you tell me your favorite book or series, who the author is, and why you like it. And I think that would be really fun to hear what everybody says. So you can drop me a line on that. So I think that about wraps it up for this episode of Quilt Cabana Corner. And I thank you so much for joining me and for talking to me over the last 2 weeks through the various different places you can get in touch with me. If you are looking to get in touch with me, you can find me under Quilt Cabana Corner on Podbean and iTunes. You can find me on a fan page on Facebook under Quilt Cabana Patterns. My website is www.quiltcabanapatterns.com, and there's a contact form that you can fill out to reach me there. You can also link to the blog from there and leave a comment. And you can also find me as Quilt Cabana on Twitter and Pinterest. You can also visit my Etsy store, quiltcabanapatterns.etsy.com. You can find my patterns on Craftsy under Quilt Cabana Patterns. And as always, if you are looking for 7 fun seasonal projects, you can pick up Little Quilts for Big Occasions on Amazon. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Don't forget to answer the new podcast research question. And I will talk to you all later. Bye-bye.